Yeah, it's been really special to have so many extraordinary actors join, and has been, I mean, it's just enriched the stories. It's enriched our on-set experiences, frankly, the off-set experiences. So that's just been very joyful. And I think I think it's pretty simple. I'll be as clear as I can. I have this, it's very hard to talk about the situation with Kim, because I've been so careful about not ever wanting to say anything that is unpleasant, because it's not the way I like to conduct conversations that are as complicated as this. I will kind of run through, I think the best way to do it is, and honestly, is to just kind of run through how it happened, is that, the studio, when we were going to do the third movie, there were things that she requested that they were not able to do. They didn't feel comfortable meeting where she wanted to meet. And so we didn't do the movie because we didn't want to do it without Kim, and the studio wasn't going to do it. So it fell apart. It wasn't that she said no to the movie. It's that the studio said no to the movie, which, happens. And every actor has a right to ask for things, to have a contract that feels good to them. I never would have disputed that, because frankly, that's not my business. Were we disappointed? Sure. But it happens. And then there were just a lot of public conversations about how she felt about the show. And once again, it's not for me to say that you're wrong. It was for you a great thing. I don't know. That hasn't been our experience. And I've spent a lot of years working really hard to always be decent to everybody on the set, to take care of people, to be responsible to and for people, both my employers and the people that I feel I'm responsible for as a producer of the show. And there just isn't anyone else who's ever talked about me this way. So it's very painful, because she's a huge contributor to the success that I think, her portrayal of that role was wonderful. And it filled out everything, right? There were 4 points on the picture, and they were all important.
Good morning, one and all. Happy Monday. I know I already put out an episode for this Monday, yesterday, Sunday, but I thought, you know what, I'm feeling really inspired. And when I finished recording yesterday, that type of thing happened where you mean to talk about something and you don't end up talking about it because it completely slips your mind. And that is, of course, one of the biggest stories that dropped over the weekend. Honestly, a moment that I've been waiting for quite some time. That is, of course, SJP, Sarah Jessica Parker, finally addressing in detail everything that went down with Kim Cattrall, Kim coming out with those tweets and stuff about the third movie not happening, denying she was ever involved, and Sarah saying she was. And it was a moment, honey. It was a podcast interview she did, which I love. It's so great to see our A-list talent getting involved with us podcasters, but I feel like it's just so much more convenient and easy to get things off of your chest, so to speak, because excuse me, you're behind a microphone, you're not on camera. Sometimes I know some podcasts do have a video element component to it, which I personally really like, because I like seeing sort of the facial expressions and whatever. But if you're doing a podcast, you don't see your face. The only person who sees your face is the person recording, opposite of you, person or people. But anyways, it was a scandalous interview that I will definitely be reading about. And that's what led us into this episode, was the excerpt and clip, SJP talking about everything that went down with Kim. So by the way, I'm sitting outside Intelligisa, which is a coffee place near where my darling niece and nephew go to school. I'm doing the parent pickup and drop off this week, which I really love. And it's so weird and nostalgic doing it, because it reminds me of back in the day when I would take the bus to school and or my parents would drop me off, which was like always the best, a gift, because I hated taking the bus, bullies, and it was gross and it took forever. And it just, like, honestly, who wants to sit on a yellow school bus? Like, the wheels on the bus definitely did not go around on my bus, but that's just me. So that's what I'm doing right now. I just dropped them off and got my coffee and a little bit of a Cinnabon. By the way, I'm sorry if I still sound a little bit congested. There's so much damn pollen everywhere in the city. It's all over the car, man, and I have really bad allergies to it. I don't have a good tolerance for allergies or whatever. So Yeah. So anyways, let me just have a sip of my coffee. Mmm. Ah, so well done. So well made. And let's get into our four stories of the day. So the first one, the big story of the day, which is obviously what I talked about getting into this in the little excerpt that I played before this episode started, comes from The Hollywood Reporter. Sarah Jessica Parker on, quote, painful Kim Cattrall rift. Quote, there just isn't anyone else who'd ever talk to me this way. Talked about me this way. Which is very true, because Kim Cattrall did say some things that were, I don't want to say below the belt, but they were definitely, like, made many of us raise one eyebrow, like, a suspect. Okay, Sarah Jessica Parker has spoken at length about the rift and her relationship with Kim Cattrall, one of the four principal stars of the landmark HBO comedy series Sex and the City, and its two big screen adaptations in which she played Samantha alongside Parker's Carrie. For the first time, Parker detailed why Cattrall was not asked to be a part of And Just Like That, the Sex and the City revival series that recently had its first season on HBO Max, which, by the way, I loved it. Speaking to Scott Feinberg on The Hollywood Reporter's Award Chatter podcast, Parker acknowledged that, quote, it's very hard to talk about the situation with Kim, but that she wanted to, quote, kind of run through how it happened to clarify why it is actually not the two-way catfight that the media portrayed it to be. As she put it, quote, there's been one person talking. Oh, the shade! I love it! Okay. Okay, in Parker's view, the issues with Cattrall may date back to 2017 when a third Sex and the City movie was being contemplated, but, quote, fell apart over the contractual demands that Cattrall made of Warner Brothers, the studio that was to finance and distribute the film. Reports that at the time suggested that Cattrall made her participation contingent upon the studio greenlighting an unrelated project of hers. Quote, they didn't feel comfortable meeting where she wanted to meet, and so we didn't do the movie because we didn't want to do it without Kim, Parker recounted. Were we, she and co-stars Tristan Davis and Cynthia Nixon, disappointed? Sure, but it happens. Then, however, Cattrall began publicly slamming Parker, accusing Parker of having behaved cruelly towards her during the original run of Sex and the City, claiming that the two never had really been friends and saying the same of her relationship with Davis and Nixon, and even rebuffing Parker's extension of condolences after Cattrall's brother passed away in 2018. I remember that. She put out those Instagram posts saying, I do not need your sympathy, SJP, and then something about her mom saying, when will that hypocrite SJP ever stop? Like, that was like, whoa! Anyways, to continue, quote, there were just a lot of public conversations about how she felt about the show. Parker told Award Chatter, conversations Parker found, quote, very painful because they did not reflect our experiencing, meaning hers, Davis's, or Nixon's. And because, she added, quote, I've spent a lot of years working really hard to always be decent to everybody on the set, to take care of people, to be responsible to and for people, both my employers and the people that I feel responsible for as a producer of the show. And there just isn't anyone else who'd ever talked about me this way. While Parker readily acknowledged that Cattrall, quote, was a huge contributor to the success of Sex and the City series and films, she also explained, quote, we did not ask her to be a part of it just like that because she made it clear that it wasn't something that she wanted to pursue. It no longer felt comfortable for us, and so it didn't occur to us. That's not, quote, slamming her. It's just learning. You've got to listen to somebody, and if they're publicly talking about something and it doesn't suggest it's someplace they want to be or a person they want to play or an environment in which they want to be, you get to an age where you're like, we hear that. Parker further noted, quote, we felt comfortable moving on without her, without the part, because we knew that Michael Patrick King, the And Just Like That showrunner, and by the way, the genius creator with Lisa Kudrow of The Comeback, which is one of my favorite shows of all time, check it out, it's on HBO Max, wanted to do, and we thought he handled it beautifully. Parker concludes that her remarks about Cattrall with a plea to the media to stop mischaracterizing what has occurred, quote, I just want to say one thing, because you've allowed me this opportunity, it's so painful for people to keep talking about this, quote, cat fight. A fight, a fight, a fight. I've never uttered fighting words in my life about anybody that I've worked with, ever. There is not, quote, a fight going on. There has never been a public dispute or spat or conversations or allegations made by me or anybody on my behalf. I wouldn't do it. That is not the way I would have done it. So I just wish that they would stop calling this a catfight or an argument because it doesn't reflect reality. There has been one person talking. Okay, many things to say about that. First and foremost, I actually really do believe her. I do believe that when somebody is hurt by someone else, you lash out. You say stuff. And I know Kim was going through the loss of her brother, which is awful. I mean, here's the thing. There's always three sides to the truth. Sarah's side, Kim's side, and, you know, the actual truth. So, and people perceive things differently. So Kim may have been hurt. Kim may have thought that somebody leaked it to the press, that their contract negotiations fell through. Who knows? But I'm glad that SJP is standing her ground. And I know, you know, some people just like to rise above situations like this. not even discuss it, but sometimes you gotta cover yourself. You gotta stand up for yourself. And, you know, she says she has a good reputation, which I firmly do believe. She seems like she's a lovely person. And, yeah, that's that. I mean, I'm not even gonna get into the Kathy and Jimmy of it all, where Kathy and Jimmy, very suspiciously, who just finished shooting Hocus Pocus 2 with Sarah Jessica, was at dinner with Kim Cattrall and standing up for her for, you know, saying, supporting her for something. So, makes one wonder. But, yeah, anyways. Okay, well, that's it on that. And I literally am talking about these two because I love Sex and the City so much, and I love And Just Like That. That brings us to our second story of the day, which has literally nothing to do with And Just Like That or Sex and the City, but it has to do with some of my favorite people ever. MTV Movie and TV Awards 2022 winners, a complete list. Vanessa Hudgens hosted the first half of the night dedicated to the scripted movies and TV broadcast live from Barker Hangar in Los Angeles on June 5th. The Bachelor's Tayshia Adams took over the unscripted portion. The presenters for the night included top celebs like Chris Evans, Awkwafina, Rebel Wilson, Billy Eichner, Jenna Ortega, Jay Ellis, and of course, Sydney Sweeney, which, by the way, her video is going viral online because she basically alluded to something that happened between her and Maddie on Euphoria, which was so damn iconic. But anyway, here are the winners. Best Movie, Spider-Man No Way Home. Best Show, Euphoria, of course. Best Performance in a Movie, Tom Holland, Spider-Man No Way Home. Best Performance in a Show, Zendaya, Euphoria, but I don't think Zendaya was there. Best Hero, Scarlett Johansson, Black Widow, of course. Best Villain, Daniel Radcliffe, The Lost City. Oh my gosh, Daniel Radcliffe playing the villain, who knew? Best Kiss, Poopies and the Snake, Jackass Forever. Best Comic Performance, Ryan Reynolds, Free Guys. Breakthrough Performance, Sophia De Martino, Loki. She was incredible, by the way. Best Fight, Scripted, Cassie and Maddie, Euphoria. Yes! Most Frightening Performance, Jenna Ortega, Scream, which, by the way, I'm so looking forward to seeing Jenna Ortega Star Wars Wednesday Addams and Wednesday coming on Netflix. Best Team, Loki, Tom Hiddleston, Sophia Di Martino, Owen Wilson. Here for the Hookup, winner Euphoria. Best Song, On My Way, Marry Me, Jennifer Lopez, Marry Me. Best Docuseries, Reality Series, Selling Sunset. That doesn't surprise me. Best Competition Series, of course, RuPaul's Drag Race. Best Lifestyle Show, Selena Plus Chef. Best New Unscripted Series, The D'Amelio Show, and then a bunch of stuff that I don't really care about. But that's so exciting. I'm really happy that Euphoria is, you know, collecting all these accolades. Rightly so. It's literally the greatest show on TV right now. And I'm really happy that Sydney Sweeney was there and addressed a Cassie and Maddie squabble, which was simply iconic. Chef's kiss. Love it. This brings us to our third story of the day, which is brought to us by Page Six. Actually, our final two stories are brought to us by Page Six. And the first story has to do with people that I'm absolutely obsessed with, and that is, of course, the United States of America's own royals, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. I'm going to take a sip of my coffee really quick. Hold on. Okay. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle return to California before Jubilee ends. Okay, they were across the pond in the Jubilee, which I literally love. Love to see the family reconnecting, you know, after a very tumultuous year, of course. But Meghan and Harry were there. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's platinum Jubilee time came to an early end. The couple returned to California with their son, Archie 3, and their daughter, Lilibet, on Sunday. The family of four reportedly flew out of Farnborough Airport in England on a private jet at 1:30 p.m., missing the Platinum Jubilee pageant that closed out Queen Elizabeth's II four-day festivities. As the Duke and Duchess of Sussex flew back to the United States, their family members watched the parade from the Buckingham Palace balcony. While the event honored the 96-year-old monarch's unprecedented 70 years of service, her great-grandson, Prince Louis, stole the show with his funny faces and antics. By the way, I saw those videos all over TikTok and Instagram. So cute. Prince William and Kate Middleton's four-year-old similarly entertained Jubilee crowds with his balcony antics during the Trooping the Colour parade last Thursday. Harry, 37, and Markle, 40, also attended Trooping the Colour, although they did not appear on the balcony due to their resignation of royal duties in February 2021. And they're, like, sitting with all the common folk back in the nosebleed seats, which, you're like, hey, I love to see a relatable pair of royals. Former royals. But to me, Prince Harry will always be royal. It's in his blood. It's in your blood. You know, when Hermione says it by Harry Potter in the first one, when he's McGonagall suggests he become the Seeker. If you know, you know. But I love that they were there, and that makes me happy. And I hope they had some type of positive reconciliation, the two brothers and with Queenie. I hope so. And I love the royals, so sending them all my love. And this brings us to our fourth and final story of the day. Icon herself, Pamela Anderson extraordinaire Lily James, denies pop star pivot following Pam and Tommy. Okay, this is on Page Six also. Lily James shot down rumors of an upcoming pop star pivot. Yesterday, The Sun reported that the Pam and Tommy star planned to release two singles this summer, quoting an anonymous source, emphasis on anonymous, who said the Cinderella actress, quote, she has written and performed two amazing songs with DJ Yoda called Airplane Mode and Breathe. Okay, what? That like sounds really iconic, and I actually would literally be the first person to purchase those songs on iTunes because I love Lily James so much. But I guess it's not happening. The source explained that the actress, 33, had been planning to release one of the two singles last year, but everything got delayed, adding, quote, now she's decided to treat fans two tracks rather than one. The unnamed tipster continued, quote, she loves singing and has a great voice. She cannot wait for people to hear what they come up with. James, however, has denied any such plans that are in the works, according to the Daily Mail. Page Six has reached out to James' reps for comment. By the way, and then James has made her use of her impressive singing chops in the course of her acting roles, most memorably in 2018 Mamma Mia, the Mamma Mia sequel, Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again, which, by the way, was so iconic. She was playing a young Donna, aka young Meryl Streep, and she was so good in that movie. By the way, I saw the movie in theaters. I saw it on IMAX. I'm obsessed with ABBA. Like, I saw the Broadway show many times in New York City before it shut down. I love ABBA so much, but the movie was so good, one and two, and Amanda Seyfried was fabulous. Christine Baranski, iconic. Julie Walters, such a good movie. I gotta watch it again soon. I haven't watched it for quite some time, but I'm gonna definitely turn that on. But I love Lily James. I'm such a big fan. And hey, if she were putting out an EP or two EPs in that case, I would be downloading that because she does have a lovely voice and she's a star. And you know what? Love it. Love when our stars become musicians. So many actresses do that, acting to singing, Lindsay, Selena. And I mean, Lily James is always going to be at that level of iconicness. So, yeah. Anyways, everybody, that is our Monday episode. That is like our second Monday episode. So, I don't know if it's a two-parter or what to call it, but I just felt so inspired to get on here and chat with you guys because there's just so much going on in the world of pop culture, and I'm going to get back into it because it's literally what I love. So without further ado, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to Mandarin to meet you, the Mistress of Pop Culture. Have a great Monday, and I will chat with you guys later. Bye-bye.